7:38, News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. It's a Pensacola Morning News. Joining us now by phone, we have a rare treat. The sheriff and the chief deputy are at a conference, and so we have Commander Andrew Hobbs, who is a fairly good friend. I won't say he's a great friend. I mean, he's an okay friend, but I think what he would say is we probably saved the best for last. Is that right, sir?
A gym gets bestowed to you every so often, and that is me.
What I do with it, that's on me, right?
Exactly.
All right. Hey, anything that we don't already know about from the last day or two or three, anything happened over the weekend worth telling folks about?
Looking at the things that are out there on social media, we like to look at, you know, what other people have been reporting. So, you know, I'm sure there's questions. Like Channel 3 reported about a man arrested for a 2015 carjacking at a Pensacola gas station. We get a lot of interesting conversations about those. They're like, well, he was arrested for a 2015 case. Well, the backstory is that he committed the carjacking here. Then him and his criminal cronies went over to Mississippi, committed another robbery. Mississippi arrested him, so he spent time in prison in Mississippi. When he's released from prison, that's when we were able to serve our warrant. So a little backstory: when people hear these things about it took, you know, 6, 7, 8, 10 years, some of these cases are they've gone to another state, did the same type of crime, they were arrested in that. We have to wait for them to get out of prison.
You know, I love
so there's some times about the delay.
You know, I love your point about it's just such a broader point about if something seems ridiculous to you at first, or you think on your first read of the headline, oh God, you know, I always think, like, ask a few questions, because if you ask a few questions, you're less likely to then say something stupid because you just don't know, like that, you know, oh, these guys take so long to find a car. Well, there's a reason, you know, and that's always the point. There's always a reason. But you said there was another one besides that one that's kind of been getting some attention.
Yeah, you all put it up on your social media today about Keith Toller. He was arrested recently. He had active warrants for breaking into a hotel a couple of weeks ago, or a couple months ago. He was arrested this weekend with possession of narcotics and a gun again. You know, the officers went out to a disturbance. He's there at the disturbance. He runs, shockingly, because he knows he has warrants for kicking in a door of a hotel with a rifle. He runs. Our deputies are able to capture him. He had fentanyl. He had cocaine. You name it, he had it. He had a whole smorgasbord of narcotics, and he also had a firearm. So we were able to arrest him. He gave us a false name when we caught him, you know, shockingly again. He ran and gave us a false name, but we were able to take him into custody. So he's in the Escambia County Jail now.
Does it ever get boring how repetitive the dumb things criminals do when you arrest them are, that they don't come up with any more innovative alternatives than just, well, I'll try to give them a fake name and they'll never figure it out?
You know, it's a lot of fun at the end of the day. The men and women of the sheriff's office work their butts off. And, you know, these criminals are very good at what they do. They'll use their brother's or their sister's name. They know their Social Security. They know their date of birth. They know where they were. So they have memorized it. So you have to do a little work when you're out with certain people. If you know there's something odd, because you can tell, you can ask them a couple questions. And if they're not really good at it, they'll stumble here and there. So you have to take the time to say, have you ever been arrested? You know, where does your mom live? You know, is there a number we can call somebody else if they don't have an ID? Because normally they're not going to have an ID if they're giving you a false name. The chances are someone walking around Pensacola without some type of formal ID is hard to believe. So if they tell you they don't have anything on them that tells them their name, you usually know that's a red flag. But no, it's a lot of fun. I mean, it's a part of the job that makes it interesting.
That's part of the challenge. That's interesting that they would have all that practice. And as you say, the people who either don't have or aren't willing to give you an ID, there's a reason for that, typically. Hey, I wanted to ask you, we've been talking yesterday with Bruce Miller, the public defender, about problems that the public defender's office is having with their clients at the new jail. What's been the sheriff's office experience at the new jail? Everything working okay? Just getting used to a different system? How is it working for you guys?
Well, with everything new, you know, if you go to the same place over and over again, because, you know, the people that work at the sheriff's office, we bring people there often. So when you change that, it's a little, you got to get to it. But to my knowledge, it seems okay. We don't deal with the same issues that the attorneys do, because that's the operation of the jail. Mm-hmm. So those are in a different area. But when it comes to just putting the people in the jail, doing our report, you know, we're not there a long time, hopefully. We're usually there pretty quick, in and out. So some of the issues you're hearing that are coming up by the jail, we don't have any interaction with that, because that's the city, or I mean the county, Board of County Commissioners runs the jail. So we haven't heard those issues. I read that article, but for us, you know, it's a simple place. We drive up, we bring our the suspects into the jail, book them in the jail, and we leave. So once it comes any larger than that, we don't really know about it.
It always struck me that it was a very inefficient process, and maybe it just has to be that there's no way to make it efficient. You know, it's not like delivering a pizza when you bring somebody in for being arrested. But, you know, from your point of view, you don't want to waste officers' time, because that's time not spent out on the street, right? So is it different in terms of how much time it takes, or is it about the same, or is it better, or do you know?
I don't really know. You know, anything new is going to be not as quick.
Yeah, sure.
But I haven't heard any glaring issues about the delivery of the suspects to the jail.
Okay.
Nothing's been talked about. But again, nothing's going to be seamless when it's new. You have to get used to the different systems, the different intake methods. But you know, the men and women of the Escambia County Jail, they are professionals. They work their butt off to do the best they can. And you know, if there is an issue, I believe that they'll work through it.
Absolutely. You mentioned briefly, we're talking to Commander Andrew Hobbs with the Escambia County Sheriff's Office. You mentioned briefly in the Toler arrest earlier, you were talking about fentanyl. Are you guys seeing that a lot, where if they've got drugs, they've also got fentanyl, or if they tested positive or OD'd, that fentanyl was a part of the mix? Because that's what we're hearing nationally.
Yeah.
Is that true here locally as well?
Yeah, fentanyl is a problem. I mean, fentanyl is a problem all over the United States. They're cutting heroin with it. They're cutting methamphetamines with it. And fentanyl is one of those drugs that you get higher or you have issues. I mean, a lot of overdoses, when you're talking to the medical profession, a lot of the overdoses they're seeing are involved in fentanyl. So, and it's something that our officers have to be careful of. When we go in, if there's a lot of fentanyl, things like that, we can have adverse effects just being around it if it gets airborne.
Right.
So, yeah, fentanyl is a problem.
One of the things I wanted to ask you about is that you've been working a lot on neighborhood outreach, neighborhood engagement, you know, some of the stuff with the foundation that you guys are doing, like with the big screen to show movies. I mean, this is some really cool stuff. Can you just take a minute and tell people about these things?
Absolutely, yeah. You know, when you hear the buzzwords of community policing and all that, and you hear these people talk about it, they don't – if you're truly doing it, it is a multifaceted approach. Not one – issue is community policing. You have to figure out how to engage your community, get them to engage back, because it's easy just to go talk to the community, but to have them talk back to you and talk to you about their concerns and the issues that each neighborhood is seeing, because every neighborhood, you know this as well as anybody with all your bike riding you do through the community,
mm-hmm.
each one of our areas of our community have different aspects and different issues that are affecting them. So, you know, we have a cookout at Lexington Terrace at the community center over there this Saturday from 10 a.m. till noon. The next one's in Mayfair Community. That's August 2nd from 10 a.m. till noon. And then August 14th out at Beulah on Mobile Highway to Beulah Park out there. We're going to be there from 10 a.m. till noon. Just come out. We're going to have a lot of the displays. We'll have Sadie, our bloodhound, out there, Kona Ice. But come and see us, have hamburgers, hot dogs, and give a time just to sit down and talk. But that's just one portion. We also have the neighborhood engagement team, which rolled out last week. That's a group of 5 to 6 officers that are specifically assigned to community policing, or neighborhood engagement, we call it. And they go and they're able to spend time in each community and address those issues that are brought to us by Ronnie Rivera, Delarian Wiggins, Neighborhood Watches, those group. They come, and those officers are able to take the time to build a plan, work with other organizations, be it code enforcement, you know, ECUA, CRAs, because you can't just walk in and arrest your way out of a problem. You have to look at the whole issue and attack, if that means bringing services into people and helping them get help they need. It's just an overall approach.
When I hear you talk about this, I think partially about the engaging with people side of it, which is super important, especially in the post-Ferguson era. But I also think of like the old New York City broken window theory, kind of the idea of if you've got streetlights, if you've got maintained yards, if you've got not broken windows and broken fences, and if you just kind of, you know, work, like you said, with code enforcement and try to, you know, work before there are problems, then you can actually prevent the need to be involved in all of the arrests after the fact. Is that roughly kind of the idea here?
That's absolutely it. You know, in what you talked about, in the society we're in today, in the environment we're in today, law enforcement has to do more than it's ever done before. We're asking the men and women of the sheriff's office to do more than they've ever done, because that's a demand from the community. And community policing, or we like to call it neighborhood engagement, because you're doing more than just policing.
Yeah.
You're involved in that community. That's it, because if we can stop plight in a community, if people can walk out their front door and feel safe, if they can walk out their door and not see a derelict house across the street, that gives the community an idea or the belief that they can do better, they can be involved, they can have a happy community. And if the sheriff's office can be a part of that to help them do that, to get everyone involved, you know, that's again why Delarian Wiggins and Ronnie Rivera are so important. They are the people who help coordinate that. And if they need, like, we're dealing with a street off of, in Warrenton, Washington, is a block over there, Washington Street. They have some issues with some plight. They also have some issues with crime. And we're working with them to work with the CRA in their area for some funding to do some cleanup. We're working with code enforcement. We're working with all these different organizations, not just to arrest our way out of that problem, but to turn that community around, because there are some people in that community that really want their community to be better.
That's awesome.
And they're working with us every day.
Yeah, and it's so many dimensions to this, including it's stuff you might think of as being little, but it's so important. You know, if I go into an area that's a high crime area, I can feel it. You don't need to tell me that this is a high crime area. I can see it in a hundred different things, but think about the people who live there, and especially the kids growing up in that environment, they feel it too. And if you can give them a sense of pride and place and a feeling like things are better than they should, I mean, all of this stuff works in the law. I love it. It's great stuff. And I'm glad that Ronnie and Delarian are working on this. Commander Andrew Hobbs, he is with the Escambia County Sheriff's Office. Andrew, it's always good to have you on the show, man. Welcome back anytime. Thanks for joining us. And as always, thanks for the work. We appreciate it.
Thanks, man. Have a good day.